I want to share a message with you. You probably could guess the title of the message already. It is A Grateful Heart, A Grateful Heart. We sang about it all through worship, and I want us to be speaking about that and thinking about that, not just today, but throughout the week and even as we close out the year. Let's try to produce and maintain a grateful heart. Amen? A grateful heart. And one of my devotionals, The Daily Walk, writes this: a growing relationship with God includes a growing understanding of what He can accomplish in our lives as we trust in Him. He will guide us in His way. He will vindicate us when we're wronged. He'll protect us when we're in danger. And David's response to that, the Psalms that we are going to cover today, and the response that God desires from every true believer is an outpouring of heartfelt praise and genuine thanksgiving. God wants us to have that grateful heart, and He wants us to have that genuine thanksgiving of all that He's done for us and all that He's blessed us with. And so we find that in the Psalms, praise and thanksgiving permeate the entire book of Psalms, all 150 chapters. And the fact is seen in the repetition of several words. The word praise is mentioned 175 times in the book of Psalms. It's mentioned 27 times. The word thanks is mentioned 27 times. And then thanksgiving, the word thanksgiving is mentioned 5 times throughout the book of Psalms. So it's not hard to miss. I mean, it is hard to miss, I should say, that the psalmist's intent, all the writers of the Psalms, their intent is that we learn how to praise the Lord and that we learn how to give thanks to the Lord. That's what the whole intent of the book is about. Now, Psalm 30, we're going to kind of talk about that for just a moment. Psalm 30 is a testimony of thanksgiving, and it centers around David's experience of divine deliverance in his life and his resulting gratitude to the Father because of that. Psalm 30 also illustrates the term thanksgiving that we just mentioned, which is more human-centered, and it highlights the believer's gratitude for God's involvement in his life. And so that Psalm 30, that's what David is writing about: his thanks, his praise, his gratitude to God for the Lord's involvement in his life, protecting him, keeping him, watching over him, and ministering to him. So David writes this in Psalm chapter 30, verses 11 and 12. David writes, "You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth, and you clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever." Praise God. He says, "You turn my wailing, you turn my grief, my mourning, all those down times in my life, you turned all of that into dancing. And then you remove my sackcloth, my clothing that I mourn in, that I grieve in, that I go through all the down times in. Now you've removed that and you've clothed me with joy." And we know that the joy of the Lord is our strength. So God has strengthened him. And he said, "You did all of that so that," in verse 12 he says, "so that my heart may sing to you and not be silent." David is not only the psalmist, he's the songwriter and he's the singer of Israel. And he instituted worship in the temple with different musical instruments. And so he says, all of this was done so that my heart, my mind, I can sing to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever. Praise God. And so he is an example to us today that we also are to sing and worship the Lord forever. Another devotional, Daily Wisdom for Men, writes this: King Solomon wisely said, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from that. Out of the abundance of the heart or the mind, the Bible says the mouth is going to speak. whatever's in here, whatever's up here, eventually is going to come out. It's going to come out in our speaking. It's going to come out in our actions. And so Solomon says, above everything else, you need to guard your heart. You need to guard your mind, because everything else flows from that. 1,000 years later, Jesus put some meat on the bones of Solomon's warning, telling us that our focus on the cares of this world, if we're not careful, can weigh our heart down, can weigh our mind down. If we're not careful, if we focus on the cares of this world, we're going to be in trouble, and it's going to weigh us down. Jesus says in Luke 21:34, he tells us this, "Be careful, or your hearts, your minds, will be weighed down with dissipation, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life, and that day, the coming of Christ, will close on us unexpectedly like a trap." That's if we're caught up in all the troubles of this world and we're not looking up to our Savior and our salvation through Christ. So the word dissipation, I always want to explain that a little bit when we mention the scripture. Dissipation is the wasteful use of our time. So in the world in which we live, if we're not careful, we get so caught up in the stuff and the junk around us that we waste time that we could be thinking more positive thoughts. We could be doing more positive things for the kingdom. We could be reading the Bible more. We could be praying more. We could be more faithful to God's house. But instead, we are exercising a wasteful use of time. And those are our choices. But also, dissipation is also a wasteful or an excessive indulgence in pleasure. And I see that not only is the world caught up in that, but even the church world gets caught up pursuing pleasure rather than pursuing a walk with God. So he said, be careful, or your hearts, your minds, are going to be weighed down with all these things. And that day, the coming of the Lord, will come on us unexpectedly like a trap. That word trap is interesting, that the coming of the Lord could come on us as Christians unexpectedly like a trap. But the Bible says that day should not come upon us unexpectedly. We should be in the loop with the Holy Spirit through prayer, through the Word, again, through faithfulness to God's house, that day will not catch us by surprise. We will be ready, we'll be prepared for it, and God will have shown us what is yet to come through the Holy Spirit, and we won't be caught off guard. The devotional continues, Daily Wisdom for Men, with this. God knows our heart, and he knows that we're prone to doing things, thinking things, and looking at things that can weigh down our heart and keep us from pure fellowship with him. God knows us. He knows we're human. He knows we mess up. He knows we make mistakes. He knows we sin. We fail the Lord from time to time. He knows all that. So that's why he's so committed to transforming our thinking so that it focuses on him first, ahead of our own desires, even ahead of the legitimate cares of this world that we have to deal with on a daily basis. God knows there's stuff in life that we've got to do, stuff that we have to deal with, cares, worries, pressures, stresses. God knows all of that stuff is part of daily living in a fallen world. Jesus experienced all that stuff, and yet the Bible says he remained without sin. The only person ever to live on this planet that he came in human flesh and blood, and he never sinned. The only one. It had to be that way, or he couldn't be our Savior, because he was the sinless Lamb of God that was slain from the foundation of the world. I want us to turn to Ezekiel chapter 36, and just two verses there. Ezekiel chapter 36, and we're going to pick up at verse number 26. Remember, we're talking about our heart, our mind, and a grateful heart. It says this in verse 26. God speaks through Ezekiel prophetically, and God says, I'm going to give you a new heart, and I'm going to put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone, and I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. And I'm going to put my spirit in you, and I'm going to move you through the power of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to move you to follow my decrees and to be careful to keep or to obey my laws. Those are two very powerful scriptures, very prophetic words that I believe apply to us today. In the context, it was for the nation of Israel that had fallen away from the Lord, and God says, I'm going to bring you back by giving you a new heart and placing a new spirit in you. But God wants to do that for us today as well. Joel, the prophet Joel, says, in the last days, saith the Lord, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Sons and daughters shall prophesy. Old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. And on my handmaidens and on my servants, I'm going to pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And so this goes hand in hand with what we're reading here in Ezekiel. I'm going to cleanse you from all your impurities, it says in verse 25, and from all your idols. There's no more idol worship in Israel. If they've learned one lesson, it's that you don't worship idols. And they've learned that lesson well. But verse 26 says, I'm going to give you a new heart. And I'm going to remove from you. I also put a new spirit in you. And I'm going to remove from you your heart of stone. And I'm going to give you a heart of flesh. A stony heart is a hardened heart. Israel's heart, the heart of the people of Israel, had become hardened against the Lord. And that's why he says, I've got to replace that stony, hard, cold heart with a new heart, a heart of flesh. A heart that will feel my heartbeat. A heart that will understand what's going on, that will know the times, a heart that's going to do my will. And I'm going to help you in that by putting a new spirit in you. I'm going to move you to follow my decrees, and you're going to be careful to keep and obey my laws. So the Holy Spirit enables us to do that. We know it's not our might, it's not our power, but it's His Spirit, saith the Lord. Praise God. Well, let's go a little bit further this morning. If I can remove my papers here. Sarah Young, who we talked about last week from her devotional, Jesus Calling, Sarah Young adds this. She says, you find the deepest fulfillment. Remember, Jesus is writing, the way she does her devotional is as if Jesus is writing it. So he would write here, you find the deepest fulfillment of your heart in me alone, says Christ. You find the deepest fulfillment of your heart in Christ alone. She continues, thankfulness opens the door to my presence. Thankfulness opens the door to the presence of the Lord. Though I am always with you, I have gone to great measures to preserve your freedom of choice. I'm so grateful that we have freedom of choice. We're the only one of God's creation that He gave that to, the freedom to choose. You chose to come here this morning. You could have just as easily chosen to stay home in bed and rest. You know, you could have chosen that. We have so many choices that we make throughout a day. And we must always remember that choice, not chance, is what determines our destiny. So freedom of choice is a huge, huge privilege. She goes on, I have placed a door between you and me, between us and the Lord, and I have empowered you to open or close that door. Revelation 3:20 confirms that. Behold, I stand at the door and knock, Jesus says. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, then I will come in and fellowship with you and you with me. And that's what is being said here. We, with this freedom to choose, we have the power to either open the door and invite the Lord in, or we can close that door and keep him out. It's our choice. And it's the most important choice that we'll ever make. There are many ways to open this door, but a grateful attitude is one of the most effective. As we open up our heart's door to the Lord with praise, with thanksgiving, and with a gratefulness, then He is invited into our midst and into us, His presence. Psalm 100, verse 4, encourages us to enter his gates. We sang this morning. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and enter his courts with praise and give thanks to him and praise his name. That's what we did at the very beginning of the service. Sarah Young writes again from Jesus' calling. She says, thankfulness is built on a substructure of trust. We talked last week about the trusting mind. It could also have been titled the trusting heart, because your heart can't trust, it's your mind that trusts, right? And so we know that normally most words in Scripture, when it says heart, it's really saying it's mind. Not always, but most times. So thankfulness is built on a substructure of trusting God. So when thankful words stick to our throat, when they're hard to come out, when it's hard for us to give thanks, we need to check up on our foundation of trust. There's things we go through in life that we don't like and we don't understand, and sometimes it makes it hard for us to give thanks to God. We say, well, Lord, how can we give you thanks for that? But the Word is very clear that in everything we are to give him thanks. And so when thankfulness flows freely from our heart and our lips, then let our gratitude draw us closer to the Lord. Let our gratitude draw us closer to him. Then he says, I want you to learn the art of giving thanks in all circumstances. See how many times you can thank me daily. This will awaken your awareness to a multitude of blessings, but it will also cushion the impact of trials when they come against you. Not if they come against you, but when they come against you. Because the Word is very clear. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. But take comfort, take courage, be assured that I have overcome the world. And so because Christ has overcome, you and I overcome as well. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. And nothing can separate us from the love of God that's found only in Christ Jesus our Lord. So practice my presence by practicing the discipline of thankfulness. I love that. Practice my presence by practicing the discipline of thankfulness. And then the verse that I quoted just now, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, Paul writes, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Give thanks in every situation, every circumstance, whether you like it or not, whether you understand it or not, give thanks to God, because this is God's will concerning you in Christ Jesus at this time, at this season in your life. James writes in chapter 1, verse 17, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. I love the fact that our God never changes. His love for us never changes. He doesn't love us more one day and less the next. His love is constant. His love never changes. It's a never-failing, never-ending love for us. And that's one of his gifts. But every gift, every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father of the heavenly lights, with whom there's no variableness nor shadow of turning. Daily Wisdom for Men adds this, maintaining a spirit of gratitude to God, given that he is the source of every good and perfect gift, like we just read, will go a long way towards keeping us humble and therefore willing to obey God, whether we are in seasons of plenty or seasons of want. It's so important. I love this. Paul reinforces that thought. I want to say that again, and then we'll go forward. If we'll maintain a spirit of gratitude to God, given that he is the source of every good and perfect gift, it's going to go a long way towards keeping us humble, but also helping us to be willing to obey God no matter what's going on in our lives, no matter what season we find ourselves in, whether it's a time of plenty or a time of want. we can still have this heart, a grateful heart and attitude towards the Lord. And so Paul writes in Philippians chapter 4, verses 10 to 13, he says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. Again, Paul is writing from a Philippian jail cell, but he's writing to the church in Philippi. He says, indeed, you have been concerned, but you had no opportunity to show it. He says, I know you love me. I know you're praying for me. I know you care about me. But I know also that you haven't had the opportunity to show it. And he said, I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. Another version says, I've learned the secret of being content regardless of my circumstances. Verse 12, I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned this secret, there it is, of being content in every situation, whether well-fed or hungry, whether living in plenty or living in a time of want. Paul says, I just have learned the secret of just being contented. We're going to talk about that next Sunday a little bit deeper, about what makes us contented or not. And so he says, I've learned that secret, that no matter what's going on, I'm content. And then the next verse, verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then Chris Tygreen concludes with this. I love his writings. He says, before Jesus ever fed the multitudes with a few loaves of bread and some fish, what did he do? He gave thanks. Before he raised Lazarus from the dead, he gave thanks. Even in consuming the bread and the wine that symbolized his body and blood, he gave thanks. He was able to be grateful in advance. Why? Because he had confidence in what God would do. Man, I love that. That's what faith is all about. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence of things not seen. So why would you hope for something that you already have or something that you can already see? But Paul says if we, with patience, wait for it, if we wait for it, that's faith. And so I love this. He was able to be grateful, Jesus was, in advance because he had the confidence in what God would do for him in his life in the future. Jesus knew that one day he would be crucified, but he also knew that 3 days later he'd be raised from the dead. He also knew that a season later he would be taken up into heaven in clouds and that he would be seated at the right hand of the Father. And that is where he is today. And so his gratitude prepared the way for God to step in. Sometimes when we're going through something really difficult, instead of grumbling and griping and complaining about it, if we offered up a thanks in that situation, if we offered up a heart of gratitude in that situation, it would, as he writes here, it would prepare the way for God to step into the circumstances of our lives if we had that grateful heart. And so, like worship, gratitude creates a highway for God to ride into our circumstances. I love that. Just like when we worship, the Bible says that he inhabits the praises of his people. Where two or three gather together in my name, there will I be in their midst. And so that's great. So just like that, with worship, so gratitude creates this highway for God to ride into the circumstances of our lives. It's a relational attitude that prioritizes a focus on God over and above his benefits. It's the old saying, we're not seeking his hands, what they can provide for us, but we're seeking his face because we want to worship him. Amen? That's a great thought. Do we seek God's hand more than we seek his face? We seek his provision more than we seek the provider. It's something we need to think about as we go through circumstances in our lives, and especially the difficult circumstances. It's easy to worship God when things are going great. It's easy to have a grateful heart when everything is hunky-dory. But when things get tough, that's where our true colors come out. What are we going to do? Are we going to complain and gripe and grumble? Are we going to, in everything, give thanks and open the door for God to come in and bless with his intervention? And so it's a statement of faith. It's an acknowledgement that God is able and willing to intervene in our lives according to all of his promises that he gives us in his word. So when we are confident in him, he rewards our confidence with his solutions to the problems of our lives. I love that. When we are confident in the Lord, that confidence is rewarded with God's solutions to our problems, his answer to our prayers, his solution to the needs of our lives. God does that. So a grateful heart, in summation, a grateful heart prepares the way for God's promises and his provisions to be applied to our circumstances. I love that. I'm going to say it again. A grateful heart prepares the way for God's promises and his provisions to be applied to our circumstances.